Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is John Johnson on Radio Edgy Talk. It is Wednesday, the 22nd of April, 8 o'clock. I'm in Glasgow. We've got some lovely weather this week for a wee change. So I'm looking out at blue skies and blossom. And today we've been joined by Emma Platt of the Crichton Carbon Centre. Good evening, Emma.
Good evening.
And I don't know where you're located at this very moment. Are you somewhere in Scotland?
I am. I'm in Dumfries. I'm at the office of the Crichton Carbon Centre.
Right, okay.
It's certainly very sunny here too.
Yeah, it's just even if you're indoors, it's kind of cheers you up. So maybe you could just tell us a wee bit to start off, Emma, about your background, where you came from and what you do. Would be a good way to start.
Yeah. So I currently live and work in Dumfries. I've lived here for about 5 years now, and I've been working with the Crichton Carbon Centre for the last nearly 3 years on delivering sustainable development education. My background is in environmental management. That's what I studied at university. After finishing my degree, I came into working in the sustainable development field. I started off in the transport sector, working with sustainable transport, encouraging people to walk and cycle or take the bus even. And then that led on to me coming into the education sector, working with schools, universities to try and encourage learning for sustainability. So that's where I am now, working with schools very much day to day, and I really enjoy doing that. So I hope to do that for the next few years at least, and see where that takes me.
Great. Thanks very much. The centre, is it like a physical centre then? That
it is. Yeah.
People visit or?
No. It's a charity. It's basically an office. So it's not our centre as in open to the public as much, but the centre carries out various projects. There's a project currently running which works with businesses, small medium-sized businesses, and increasing their efficiency to try and reduce their environmental impacts. That's called the SPY program. That's currently ongoing. I think it's nearly coming to an end. It also carries out projects on land management, looking at peat bogs, conserving peat bogs, looking at sustainability of rural areas. So there's various projects going on being carried out by the centre, and we've been going since 2007. And we work within Dumfries and Galloway primarily, but we also deliver projects outside of the region, all across Scotland, working with various partners.
So the project that I suppose most interests me as a primary school teacher is this Carbon Busters project.
Yeah.
Which is quite a primary school friendly title. I wonder, could you tell us a wee bit about that, please?
Yeah. So the Carbon Busters project has been going on about 7 years now, and we work with primary schools, upper primaries, so P5s to P7s, as well as lower secondary schools, so that's S1s to S3s usually. What we do is we go into the schools to do a set of workshops, and the idea is that we educate the pupils about sustainable development education with a focus on climate change. So in the course of workshops that we provide, it's usually up to six workshops per school, so we'll go in once a week for about 6 weeks or so. We start off with introduction to climate change, that's looking at things like greenhouse gases and what causes climate change, what impacts it has, and so on. And then we move on to specific topics such as energy and climate change, food and climate change, waste, transport, forest biodiversity, looking at various aspects of our environment and how it's linked to climate change and sustainability. So it's very much a pupil workshop, which is hands-on, packed full of activities. We do it both indoors and outdoors. So pupils love it, and you know, I think they get a lot out of it from learning about climate change. People tend to, you know, have a deep interest in the environment, so they really take it on very well. And we also deliver teacher training to the schools that participate in the Carbon Busters project, so that's training teachers on how to develop sustainable development education.
So, I mean, that's quite a big commitment that you give to the schools when you do this. You're going in for 6 workshops, and to me, I imagine that can expand in the school when you're not there to a lot of other activities and related activities.
It is.
And you also go, you go back, I presume, after school and do teacher training as well.
Yeah, that's right.
And is there a cost to the school for this? Or
No, it's delivered free of charge. We are externally funded. We're currently being funded by the Robertson Trust and the Barthel Charitable Trust. So we can deliver it free of charge to schools. It costs nothing to the schools themselves to deliver it. We bring all our equipment, everything that we need to do in the workshops with us. So no preparation or no cost to the schools whatsoever.
So I'm guessing you're quite busy.
A great
project. Could you maybe tell us a wee bit, just give us a sort of flavour of the sort of activities that you might do, or, you know, take us through a workshop or a session, this sort of thing?
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds much more hands-on than some, I mean, I suppose, in the past few years, or, well, going back quite a lot of years, I guess, in the classroom, where visits from outsiders tended to be a presentation, and now they seem to be developing much more into activities where the pupils get involved, and you seem to be aiming at that. So could you maybe just give us an example of one session and maybe a few things that you would do during one?
Yeah, certainly. The first session, for example, which is Introduction to Climate Change, we do start it off with sort of a PowerPoint slide presentation. Then we go on to looking at some of the gases in the atmosphere, and one of the activities that we do, which is a great fun activity to do, is to get pupils to represent a molecule which makes one of the gases, some of the gases in the atmosphere. So a pupil would get a sticker each which has the sign, you know, oxygen or nitrogen or carbon, and they have to combine with each other. To make nitrous oxide or carbon dioxide in order to represent one of the gases that you can.
Emma?
The gases that they.
Sorry, Emma, I don't know. You're breaking up a wee bit here. I don't know if it's at my end or your end, but if you don't mind, I'm just going to hang up for a second and redial to see if we can get a slightly better connection. Okay? Lost. Skype seemed to fall apart there on me.
Yeah.
So I've just restarted the broadcast, folks, if you're listening. Unfortunately, and I think it's at my end because my internet connection seemed to disappear. Hopefully it'll stay on for a wee while now. But we're in the middle of talking to Emma Platt of the Carbon Centre. And for the podcast, this will be seamless because I will, of course, try and stick it together in some way that... it'll sound great. So sorry about that, Emma. We were in the middle of talking about children running about with stickers on, pretending to be molecules, and building up an idea of what the atmosphere was like.
Exactly, So that's one of the activities that we carry out to try and get them to understand really what these gases, because the gases, you can't obviously can't see it. So in order to try and get the kids to really think about what these gases are, we try and get them to imagine that themselves as a molecule and them combining to make one of these gases. And following on from that, we talk about carbon footprint around the world, and one of the activities that we do is the carbon footprint game, where we get the kids to each have a card with the name of a country and an individual person's carbon footprint from that country. So the average carbon footprint that can be found of a typical person in that certain country. And what we get the pupils to do is to put the cars up on a line from small, large carbon footprint to small carbon footprint. They have to communicate between themselves to try and figure out the lowest to the highest carbon footprint. And once these cars are up on the line, we get them to talk about why some countries may have a lower carbon footprint, why others may have a larger carbon footprint. And I was just carrying this activity out today, and it's amazing some of the things that pupils latch onto. So, you know, the conclusion that we gathered from looking at the different carbon footprints was that the greenhouse gas emission is very much related to the development of that country. So how rich people are in that certain country is very much linked to what their carbon footprints are. And this is the conclusions that pupils themselves reach. You know, I kind of give a pointer, but it's pupils themselves that come out with these conclusions at the end of these activities. So it's very much pupil-led, and it's great to see the pupils really kind of getting the idea of what sustainability is, and understanding what climate change is.
Yeah, sometimes I think it's easier for children, once they understand, to become empowered or enthusiastic or something by these sort of issues than it is for adults who have probably got a degree more of cynicism. So
exactly, yeah, and you know, some of the other activities we carry out are outdoors. So we do tree planting, food crop planting. We talk about the importance of trees and in order to tackle climate change. So we actually go out and plant trees on school grounds, as well as planting food crops, because we talk about, one of the things that we talk about is food miles, so the importance of eating local and seasonal foods, which we then actually carry out by planting various fruit and vegetables in the school grounds, which is always very much very, very fun, both for myself and for the kids.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a nice job to go in and get children all excited,
and
then leave some teachers to quieten them down. So that's
later on.
The good part. And so schools, I say, across Dumfries and Galloway, did you say, are involved in the most part? But you're reasonably happy to move into other places as well.
So at the moment we work primarily in Dumfries and Galloway. We've covered about 75-80 schools in the last 7 years. And in the last 2-3 years that I've been working with schools, I've covered about, on average, about 20 schools a year. But we're very much keen to expand into the rest of Scotland. And one of the things that we're currently looking to do is to develop an online teacher training course. So by digitizing some of the resources and putting it online, we're hoping to reach many, many more teachers than we can physically reach by us traveling. So that's one of the things that we are currently looking to do.
That sounds great. Yeah. If a school was interested in having you, can they get in contact through your website? Or
certainly, yeah. So the details of myself is up on the Carbon Centre's website. So if a school is keen to get some workshops done with ourselves, then please do get in touch. And, you know, we can discuss how that might be delivered. And I'm very much keen to hear from schools as to, you know, what they're already doing in terms of learning for sustainability or climate change education. And if we can supplement or add to what the school's already doing, then, you know, that's something that we can also do. So yeah, we'll definitely be keen to hear from schools that are interested.
Have you noticed that there is like a pattern of activities or something that you're joining in with, rather than this being completely new to schools? Then does it fit in with other parts of
Yeah, certainly. The Curriculum for Excellence is very much focused on sustainability. So we, through the workshops that we provide, a lot of the expectations and outcomes are ticked off through the workshops that we provide. And also the Eco Schools project, which is very, very popular in Scottish schools. A lot of the work that we carry out supplements the Eco Schools, what they are trying to achieve also. So it very much fits in with, you know, the work that school may already be doing towards getting a Green Flag Award, or it might start the school off in the right direction to, you know, then to continue and achieve the award.
So some of the training you do in the schools, you do training with staff after delivering these workshops, is the sort of expectation then that the staff would be able to continue the programme with another class the next year?
Yes, certainly. Certainly. So in order to give the project itself a sustainability, what we do is we train the teachers, the class teachers, head teachers, classroom assistants on sustainable development education. And what we also do is to give all the presentations, activities, slides, lesson plans on a USB stick to the teachers, so that they can then, with the training that they get, they can use the resources to deliver the classes themselves in the following years, so that we don't have to keep going back year after year into the same schools and doing the same workshops. The teachers will have the capabilities to do that themselves for the following years.
So it's you're teaching the fish rather than giving them fish. That's always a good thing.
Yeah, definitely.
And how much sort of time is taken by this, would you say? I mean, how much time do you spend? You're spending half a dozen workshops in a school with between an hour and a half. And then how much time are you spending with the teachers after that?
Yeah, so we always ask the teachers to sit in on the pupil workshop so that they can also see what we deliver during the 6 weeks that we are there. But the teacher training itself takes about an hour and a half. It's usually delivered after school. And, you know, we know teachers are very, very busy, so we don't want to sort of make it too long. So we sort of do a very intensive short training session, which lasts for about an hour or so. And, you know, we are always able to support the teachers afterwards. Also, if they've got any questions, you know, we can always get in touch with them after that training also to try and deliver any support that they require. So, you know, amongst the sort of 20 schools or so that we cover every year, you know, it's teacher training is certainly a big part of what we do, and we'll certainly be looking to expand the teacher training sessions that we deliver, because we do believe that empowering the teachers will be the best way to go forward with making sure that learning for sustainability is really embedded into the school curriculum.
Brilliant. And so just to maybe move on to the training that you're developing, which is going to be online training. And have you, I mean, I don't know where you are in your development of this. How would that work? Is that a series of things that a teacher would do then over a number of weeks or?
Yes, it will be. So it will consist of various modules. It's still very much in its early stages. We've got the outline of what the online course might look like. It's sort of starting from looking at what sustainability is, how it might apply to their teaching within their classrooms, and also looking at how to initiate behaviour change and how to maintain a sustainable culture within their schools. So it's very much a knowledge-based training course, as well as enabling the teachers to actually make that change in the school environment to make the whole school more sustainable. to reduce the school's carbon footprint. So it would be a course of workshop, lectures that the teacher will be doing through this online platform. Currently, we are looking to fund the development of this online training course. So we are sort of searching various sources. If there's any sources available, then do let us know. But that's where we are at the moment.
Brilliant. No, I mean, it's really interesting, and I kind of get the hint when you're talking now that you're not actually just trying to go into school and teach children about their carbon footprint, and but you're actually trying to change schools to be more sustainable themselves, as well as just teach about sustainability.
Yeah, exactly. So we do focus on behaviour change and getting the schools to really shift towards a low carbon environment. So as well as teaching about climate change and carbon footprint, we get the schools, pupils to talk about the actions that they can take individually and as a school to try and make it more sustainable. So it's very much action-based, very much practical that we're trying to, get the pupils to do.
Sort of a holistic thing as opposed to just a series of discrete lessons. And this sort of speaks to the just generally sustainable development education. I wonder, would you like to spin that out a wee bit?
So sustainable development education is a big part of Scottish education. Scotland has been recognised as a regional centre of expertise in sustainable development education by the United Nations. Scotland was one of the UN Decade of Learning for Sustainability, which the decade finished last year. It ran for 10 years, and in this 10 years, a lot of the education that's happening in Scotland was recognised internationally. So, Scotland has a great basis for really strengthening its sustainable development education. And although a lot has already been done, there's a lot of policies which has been implemented, but there's a lot more that can be done. So, things like making sure that charities like ourselves can fund these workshops and the online training courses that we're developing, ensuring that there's a funding stream that is being made available to these charities. That's very important. And also just keeping it in the spotlight that this is a vital element of education, and ensuring that it doesn't sort of get put to the back of the folder and get sort of forgotten about. So
well, if we've done that, and that's it. So if once this course is up and running as a teacher, if I come on the course, would it address the sort of cross-curricular things? Would you look at how you would incorporate this into literacy, say, for instance?
Yeah, definitely. As a topic, climate change is excellent for going cross-curricular. Looking at various aspects of climate change reaches into literacy, maths, science, even outdoor education. That's very much a physical activity based thing, so into PE. So it is very, very good at sort of multitasking, really. So as a teacher, if you're sort of looking to teach maths in a different way, then looking to climate change or sustainable development education, because there'll be something in there that you can teach as a subject of maths. So and that's what we try and do in our workshops, is to try and bring in different elements of the curriculum for excellence, different ENOs, into the workshop, each of the workshops that we deliver. So it makes it really interesting for the pupils, and it also ticks a lot of boxes for the teachers too.
Yeah, well, although we always say we don't like box ticking, it's quite nice to get some of them checked off. Certainly, and it's nice to see that sort of cross-curricular stuff go on anyway, both from a cynical and non-cynical point of view.
Certainly.
It does sound a great opportunity to get involved in that.
Yeah.
Wandering slightly off topic now. I met you a couple of times at the Open Education meetings in Scotland. I think it's the Open Education Resources Forum or something. I don't know if it changes its name quite a lot. I just wondered what the link was between.
So that was in relation to the online training course that we are looking to develop. So we are looking to develop the training course as an open access resource that teachers or anyone who is interested can access it free of charge from anywhere that they are. So that's sort of the link that took me to some of the events that was hosted by Open University on the OPES project, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the link. As I said, the online training course is still very much at its development stage, but sort of just seeing what's out there already as an open access resource has been sort of helping us to develop our own resources and how we want to take the training course forward. So that's why I was attending these events.
So the course that you're developing will be a sort of OER type resource. It will be
We're hoping that it will be open access to anyone that is interested.
And this is maybe a question that you're not ready to answer if it is in development. Is the idea that the course would be something people would do over a period of time together, or is it something that somebody could pick up and just do by themselves?
I think it might be a mixture of both. So certain parts of it will be an individual learning session where they can lock themselves in a room and just go through some of the materials, whereas the other parts, it might involve teachers coming together in the school and having a discussion or even a face-to-face sort of training session that is provided by the Crichton Carbon Centre as part of the professional development that the teachers carry out. So I think it might be multiple interface in terms of how the learning takes place.
Yeah, that in itself is quite interesting because obviously there's various people trying all sorts of ways to get online learning to work, both for pupils and for CPD or professional development. And I suspect that people need more than one, that if they're just presented with a bunch of materials to get on with, that's very easy to drop out of. But if there's some sort of either a group of people working together or, a leader that you have some sort of connection with, have a much sort of deeper effect, and it's harder to bail out and leave when other things get in the way, which I think is quite important for online learning.
That's right. I think it's always a challenge when you're providing resources through an online platform that you don't know what the learner on the other side of the screen is doing. So it's always a challenge to get them. Keep them engaged. We've all sort of signed up to free online courses and never finished it to the end. I've done a few online courses which I haven't seen the end of the session. So it is a challenge, and that's what we are looking at the moment, is to see how is it best to best delivering the resources so that we can ensure that the teachers who are very, very busy can start it and then finish it, take it to the very end to make it meaningful.
Yeah, sounds super. Emma, I'm kind of aware we're running about 8:30 now, and we said we'd go for half an hour. Is there anything else that you think you'd like to emphasise or have missed out or anything like that?
No, I don't think so. Again, you know, if schools are interested, please go on to the Croydon Carbon Centre's webpage and please get in touch. And even if you want to share what your school is already doing, then, you know, we are happy to get in touch and maybe discuss some ideas. And if people are interested in learning about which schools have participated and what they actually do, we have a Twitter page. Our Twitter name is @CarbonBusters01. So if you can look that up, then we've got a lot of examples of the past schools up on our Twitter page. So that would give a good idea about some of the things that we do in schools.
Brilliant, thanks very much. And what I'll do is when I post the audio, which I should do over the next day or two, is that we'll put the links to the Carbon Centre and the Twitter handle onto the notes so that people can access it from there. It certainly sounds to me like a great opportunity for folk to maybe expand their green flag activities or eco school activities to get some direct help or some training that will help with deliver that. Great stuff. So can I just say thanks very much, Emma, for taking the time to come and talk to us.
Thank you very much.
And maybe after you have the online course up and running, you might like to come back and tell us a wee bit about that, how it's going and any lessons learned, because we're certainly all looking, or an awful lot of us out here are looking at how to involve people in online learning.
Certainly, I look forward to doing that.
Great. And if you're listening, you can always check Radio Edutalk on edutalk.cc, where you'll see the up-and-coming shows that we've got over the next month or so. Right, so I'll just say good night, folks. Cheers.